Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Cody, thank you for obeying the Lord. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a lot of times in ministry that you're not going to feel like it, but you're going to just do it. Because the Lord said do it. I promise you, He'll always be with you.
Amen.
He'll never let you down.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Jesus is in this house tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost. Anybody feel the Lord here?
Amen.
It's always interesting to me how that in the mouth of six preachers, seven preachers, soon to be eight preachers, you'll hear diverse messages, but there'll be a unity.
Amen.
God just ties it all together. It's amazing how He does that. He does that by the Holy Ghost. I couldn't tell you how many times I preach and somebody, especially you invite, since that happened to some of you, you've invited people to church. And then after church, they'd say, "What did you tell him about me?" Amen. Because I addressed things that they needed to hear, but I didn't know that. I was just preaching. Amen. I just trying to obey the Holy Ghost. Amen. But God knows people's hearts. And He talks to individuals. That's why, Brother Cody, if we can get people in here, He can talk to them individually. He talks to us as a whole body, but he talks to individuals. And the Holy Ghost is awesome how He can do that. Amen. I'm reading tonight from the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter. The words of Jesus at the Last Supper. He knew what the next few hours of life would hold. And as He called His disciples together, they certainly did not realize the import of the moment that they were sharing with Him. Luke 22, verse 19, it said, "And He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In verse 20, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you." Jesus, this was how He chose to be remembered. How do you want to be remembered? He did not want to be remembered for His miraculous birth. He didn't choose that. You may be seated. I'll be a moment. He didn't choose to be remembered for His multitude of miracles that He did. He didn't choose to be remembered for His power over nature, that He could command storms to still. He did not want to be remembered that He cast out legions of demons. He did not want to be remembered that He had healed blind eyes, deaf ears, lame limbs, mute tongues, every kind of disease. He did not want to be remembered that He had healed and cleansed lepers. He did not want to be remembered that He called the dead back to life again. He said, "But this is how I want you to remember Me. When you take that wafer," He said, "I want you to remember My body, and that I gave it for you. I want you to remember that I had no sin, but I became sin for you." I want you to remember that I shed all of my blood, my life's blood, for you. I want you to remember that. There is a recurring phrase all throughout the New Testament. It talks about in Christ, or in Christ Jesus, or in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That doesn't mean that He's a second person in a Trinity. What that means is that we have now a personal relationship with God that was not possible before Jesus Christ came. I could put it just this simply today, and I hope you'll understand it, but Jesus is simply God Almighty with skin on. That's who He is. He's God manifest in flesh. We could not get to God's level as a spirit being because we are flesh and blood. And so in order for us to get to God, He who had no flesh and had no blood took upon Himself a form of flesh and blood and sacrificed that flesh and shed that blood so that we might take on His nature. Amen. God who understood us theoretically because He made us, now understands us experientially because He lived in a body like yours and mine, and He saw through human eyes, and He thought through a brain, and He felt through a nervous system, and He understood what you go through as a human being. So when you pray, He understands you because He has been where you are. He understands loneliness. He was lonely. He understands pain because He suffered pain. Amen. He understands hunger because He was hungry. He understands thirst because He was thirsty. He understands all of those things because He was a man. And He said, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember my body. And I want you to remember my blood. Amen. That's what He wanted. And that's how He wanted us to be remembered. The cross of Jesus Christ is the crossroads of eternity. It is a collision of justice and mercy. It's the place that God meted judgment against sin one time for all men. That is a startling verse. It is a harsh and hurtful verse when it says in the book of Isaiah, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. How could a father be pleased to bruise a son? Because He took it upon Himself. Amen. Now let me explain to you again today. When you talk about the Son of God, you're not talking about Jehovah Jr. Right. How in the world can God stand in judgment against abusers if He Himself as a father turned to His boy and said, I love them so much, you go die for them? I love them so much, I'm going to beat the daylights out of you, son. He didn't do that. God was manifest in flesh. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. It's not a separate person. It's a relationship. The Bible does not teach three persons. It does not teach separate persons. Amen. It teaches one person, Jesus Christ. He is the visible image of the invisible God. And when you see one sitting on the throne, you're going to see one throne. And you're going to see one sitting on the throne. They're not going to be playing musical chairs. There's going to be one that is going to be sitting on the throne. And when you see him, you will see Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ that took upon himself that form of flesh and sacrificed that body and shed that blood for our redemption. God meted judgment on that flesh, on that body. He was badly beaten. He suffered. Amen. So that we don't have to suffer. It was the only way out. God only had one way. You see, he had to make a way. His justice demanded that there be a sacrifice. His justice demanded that there be a death. And so God said, I will take upon myself a body. I will take upon myself a form. I will take upon myself human blood. And I will become a sacrifice. And he did. So that judgment could be meted out. Amen. And at the same time, mercy could be extended. He paid up for the price of my sin. He paid the price of your sin. Amen. And because Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, is so righteous and so perfect and so good, there is a huge balance on the books of heaven. Woman goes to the store. She's poor. She has no money. Her baby is hungry. And she has needs in her home. She gets her little basket. She goes around. She gets a loaf of bread. She picks up a little bit of milk. Just the necessities. What she has to have. She goes to the cash register. She gets ready to cash out. And they ring up the bill and she says, I have no money. And they say, I'm sorry. You can't have the goods. And the woman says, but I've got to have this. My baby is crying. My children are hungry. I've got to have this. And they say, well, I wish I could help. I'm so sorry. But you don't have any money. And suddenly, somebody steps up and hands them $100 bill and said, you just take this in her stead. I've got plenty. I've got more than she needs. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, that's what Jesus Christ did for you and me. I have no righteousness. I have no goodness. I have no purity. But the one that is righteous and the one that is pure and the one that is good stepped up and paid my bill today. And there is no shortage in his bank account. Amen. Though men have been cashing his checks for 1,000 years and more, nearly 2,000 years, and millions have come, I'm telling you today, there's no overdraft. There's no shortage of God's righteousness. That's what that body means today. That's what that body means today. The Old Testament was a system of sacrifices. God established that, leading toward Jesus Christ. People wanting to find forgiveness would bring a lamb to the priest at the temple. Here's the very interesting thing. When a man brought a lamb as a sacrifice to the temple, it didn't matter who he was, and it did not matter what he had done, and it did not matter what his reputation was. All the priest could do is examine the lamb. He could not examine the man. If the lamb was acceptable, he could not reject the man. It all depended on whether the lamb was acceptable. And if the lamb had no blemish, and the lamb had no fault, then the sacrifice was acceptable, regardless of the man. And that's how you and I come to God today. You see, well, Brother Grissom, I'm not good enough. That's not what matters. That's not the point. It's the sacrifice. He looks at the lamb. The lamb of God. And he's already said, I find no fault in him. He's perfect. Without spot or blemish or any such thing. We have a perfect sacrifice. And that's why I can come to God tonight. We're getting ready here in a few minutes, and we're going to partake in a communion service. And none of us are perfect here. Every one of us have blots and blemishes on our lives, and we have scars, and we have all kinds of things happen in us, and none of us are worthy. But when you come here, it's about your sacrifice. It's about Jesus Christ. He's the sacrifice. When Adam sinned, it was one sacrifice for a family. Abel offered one sacrifice for one man. Egypt, it was one lamb for a family in the Passover. In the wilderness, they offered one lamb on an atonement day for the nation. On Calvary, it was one lamb for the whole world. For every man and every woman and every boy and every girl. Hallelujah. That's the power of Jesus Christ. There's no other sacrifice. There's none like him. Could we stand together right now and...